how does a small child pick up a bunny?
Scruff in the neck?
A small child.
Oh, you would go for the ears, yeah, right?
Which is what I did. And I picked up that bunny by the ears, and it screamed.
Bitch!
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Katie's already cracked open a Easter Red Bull.
Oh, I have. Sugar-free.
Yeah, so today we're talking about Easter.
To go with my peanut butter cup.
Yes. I saw that, but it was organic, so I think that works.
That's all right.
Not sugar-free, but, you know, whatever. Still healthy, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Is it healthy? I don't know. Peanut butter?
Come on. I know you're trying to make me feel better, but...
No, it's just one of those things. It's like, I was buying some peanut butter the other day, and I looked at what's in it. It's just like, fat.
Just a bunch of BS in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peanuts.
Yeah.
All right. So let's kick off Easter with, what do you have?
Oh, I have a lot of things.
Okay.
I have, let's talk about, actually, there's Easter and then its pagan equivalent.
Yes. Which was, Oester?
Oester.
Is that how you say it?
We don't know how it's pronounced, but we're making up the pronunciation.
Yeah. So basically what I found out in my research is that Easter is yet another one of these holidays, a Christian holiday that has a pagan origin. And as Katie would say, Christianity has smeared itself on top of it.
Yes.
So there's, a goddess called Ostra. And
yeah.
The Scandinavians call her Ostra, Anglo-Saxons call her Oestra, and then in Germany they actually called her Easter.
Oh, they did.
And she was the spring goddess. So basically Easter celebrates the rebirth of Christ, but previously it had celebrated the rebirth of the seasons.
The seasons, yeah. Right. And apparently it's 9 months after Easter is Christmas,
mm-hmm.
So it's kind of about... giving life, and then the actual birth happens.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We've been had.
Yeah.
The more
it's about conception. It's about,
fertility. The more I research this, and the more, like you're saying, it's about fertility, except for in our culture, where they've taken fertility completely out of
it. Yeah, there's no women.
There's no women. There's no egg. You know, the rebirth is a mystical, magical thing that definitely has nothing to do with a woman.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. Whereas in the past, it was all about fertility and booty.
Yeah.
Which sounds like fun. And then they also have the rabbits. So I did some research on the rabbits.
Okay.
I know you have a bunch of stuff too, but apparently in pre-Christian times, the rabbit was a holy creature associated with fertility.
Yep.
And you know why.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that phrase, fuck like rabbits,
yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, I guess Christianity took that on as well. So what do you want to tell us about rabbits a little bit?
Well, rabbits, I know this is just all about rabbits because I was looking at different things that had to do with Easter and this and...
You're not going to bring up Watership Down, are you? Because I'm going to leave the room. That's traumatic. Do you remember watching that?
I didn't even watch it.
Watch it. It's actually classified as a horror film.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's from a kind of a science fiction...
genocide?
Book. It's not about genocide so much as it's like warring faction of bunnies.
Oh.
But these bunnies get it on for real. Like, there's a general bunny. And if you read the book, it's very traumatizing. But if you see the animation... I guess it was for children.
Yeah.
Except when the bodies start to, like, fight and draw blood from each other. It's pretty bad.
No.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, no.
It's like the V.C. Andrews of bunnies.
Now I'll see it.
Yes.
If that's what it means.
So okay. All about the rabbit.
Okay, all about the rabbit. Just, you know, fun facts about rabbits, because they're just... If when, you know, the Easter Bunny comes to visit you, you want to know all about this guy.
I have to say that, like clowns, I've always been freaked out by the Easter Bunny. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
The rabbit in general has an excellent sense of smell, hearing, and vision.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why they're twisting their noses all the time?
They are, yeah. And they have a near 360 degree panoramic vision. They
really?
Can just see, like, all around them.
They always just look really scared to me. Yeah. Like, I guess that's what that
looking.
Look. They can see everything.
Wouldn't you be freaked out?
So if you've seen them, so they can see, you said they can see behind themselves as well? I don't need that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know when I walk out of a room what's going on.
Rabbits do a thing, like, it's called a binky. B-I-N-K-Y. Binky.
Okay.
And when rabbits binky, it's an expression of joy, and they will run and jump in the air.
Made that up.
They run and jump in the air, and they twist.
Really?
Their body and flick their feet.
I've never seen that in my life. Most of the rabbits where I'm from just fucking run.
Yeah, or they're in a hutch. And there's no room to binking.
Yeah, I've never seen binking before. Huh. I'm going
to
have to Google it. I don't know if we could
binky.
Do it. Maybe I could do it like off a diving board.
If I held on to something, and pulled myself up.
So you have to, table. You have to jump and then twist?
Jump in, up in the air, twist your body, and flick your feet.
Okay.
So try it. I would practice with like a dining room table. Run up to it and put your hands on it and like jump up in the air.
So you're thinking more of like clicking the heels up kind of thing?
Kind of a thing, okay. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking
a rabbit is doing as well, is running up, clicking his heels.
Yeah, kind of.
And then stealing something for some reason. I add that in. Okay, so after the post-binky, what happens?
Although they're very quiet, rabbits do communicate vocally.
Really?
Yeah, they send different, they have a low hum when running.
I bet you that works well. They thump, right?
And when they have, I'm talking about vocal cords, okay. not like
hitting
clap.
Anything. All right, so they make a low hum.
A low hum, yeah.
That sounds creepy.
And when they're running, or if they like the individuals they're around.
Okay.
But also they can scream, and this is my side note. Okay. This is from firsthand experience.
Did you have a bunny?
I had a bunny. My sisters and I each were presented with our own bunny.
Uh-huh. Much to the horror of your parents, I'm sure.
Oh, no, they're the ones who brought it
in. Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Was it Easter?
I forget.
It had to be.
But
just like St. Patrick's Day, here's your bunny. Don't ask questions.
I was too small to be handed a bunny without instruction. Because how does a small child pick up a bunny?
Scruff in the neck?
A small child.
Oh, you would go for the ears, yeah, right?
Which is what I did. And I picked up that bunny by the ears, and it screamed.
Bitch! What did it sound like?
It was a very high-pitched squeal.
And then you dropped it?
I dropped it, and I felt bad, and they were like, oh, no, this is how you pick it up. And then I was taught how to pick it up.
Okay. Maybe they should have done that part first.
Yeah, you know.
I say this scruff because I grew up in a farming area. Yeah. So for me, that was like, you know.
That was all natural.
It was all natural.
Because you knew it. I didn't know.
We've been picking up bunnies since we got here off the boat. For time immemorial.
I was in my kitchen like, what?
I've never had a bunny as a pet, though, because I always, once again, being rural, considered it to be, it's a rodent. And then, therefore, a mouse or rat or gerbil. Like, any of that stuff for me was just kind of not coming in the house. Plus, people had hutches.
Yeah.
My uncle had rabbits. He had some domestic rabbits. Lo and behold, they got out and ran throughout the entire neighborhood, and they were everywhere all the time. People were always calling me, like, come get your rabbits. And, of course, they started mating with, you know, as they do, with the other rabbits. So then we had just a new system of rabbits running around. Interesting.
Well, they are territorial animals, and they live in...
As you will see in Watership Down, when they start to tear into each other, it's like when you're a jet.
You're a chick. Oh, really?
Yes. It's really... Okay, go ahead. I'm going to hear your territorial stuff.
They are territorial. And they live in loosely organized social groups.
So they're not real organized. Yeah, they don't have a mob.
But their groups are called Warrens. I'm in the East Side Warren.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in the West Side Warren. Let's tangle.
And they live...
We're banking with our girls.
Comprising of an intricate series of underground tunnels with different entrances and exits.
Isn't that creepy, though?
That's really...
What I wonder is that why they're lucky because we find them cute.
Yeah.
Because if they look a little more like rats for the size that some of them get, we would be shutting that down so fast.
It would be like open season on open season on the rabbit.
See?
Elmer Fudd knew.
Yep, he knew. Well, those were hares, right?
Yeah, but still...
Wily as they were.
Rabbits can become bored if their environments are the same.
Are you serious? Yeah. And do they let out a sigh in addition to a hum? Are they like, oh, for the love of sweet?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is this it?
No, rabbits should be kept in pairs, too. Like, you know.
But, like, male-male or female-female, it doesn't matter?
It doesn't really say.
Okay.
It doesn't. Just says, without the company of another neutered rabbit, they get lonely and bored.
Wow.
So neuter those things.
Aww. Well, you have to, because I think even if a rabbit just sees a picture of another rabbit, it gets knocked up.
Not many people know that rabbits can be trained. They can.
Yeah, the woman who used to do my facials told me that they trained their rabbit to stay, like, in an area in their apartment.
Mm-hmm.
If it would leave the area, they would shake a can of beans at it. And apparently they don't like that noise.
Oh.
Now, I wasn't, because there was an ESL issue, so I don't know if they don't like the sound of beans in a can. In particular, or if they just don't like noise.
Let's see. Because
apparently they will shit everywhere.
Oh, they do.
They cannot be house trained, apparently.
And you can't tell if it's a raisinette or not.
You know, I've never had a raisinette.
You've never had
one? And I've never been, felt like I could pick one up off the floor either. So I think I'm okay.
Well, when you're a kid, and a raisinette is a chocolate-covered raisin.
Ew.
That's what, it's delicious.
Really?
And, yeah. Okay. And so if you're a kid and you think you found one, you're like, yeah, I gotta eat this.
Oh no.
So you better watch it. I never ate one off the floor.
Thank goodness.
Because I knew. Let's see.
What happened to your rabbit? That story was short. I'm afraid to ask. So there were three Casimir rabbits?
Yeah.
And just poof? Like, do you remember?
I don't remember what happened to them. I really don't. I don't know.
See?
It's
black. I always find out a lot of my friends, I talk to them, I'm like, oh, they start telling me about some animal they had. I'm like, and what happened to little Boxer? Like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't
This animal was a big part of your life. It was a pet. And then just one day, poof.
I think so.
Three rabbits gone.
Yeah.
And there was no mystery. Like, no one was like, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we have like two, three rabbits here yesterday?
It's a blank corner of my mind. I don't know.
You have to go under hypnosis to figure out what happened.
It's going to be dark.
Yeah. It's going to end with a stew.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Well, you could train the rabbits. It's but reward-based. So give them something.
Don't so don't just let them get away with murder.
Yeah.
Like they have to perform a test, you know, perform a test. You're not just going to give them. What do you give them?
You give them a nummy, you know, some kind of gummy thing.
Okay. Lettuce, a carrot.
Yeah.
I once tried to feed a carrot to a rabbit. We were like on vacation. They had some rabbits and some lump. And this fucking thing was looking at me like I was holding a gun. I was like, you know what? No. Forget it. Like it said in all the books, you will be down for this. You know what? Forget it. Forget it. I'm taking it home.
You have to keep them stimulated. They need to be physically and mentally active. You can't just...
I've never in my life seen them on a treadmill. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Make them run? They look like lazy pieces of shit.
No, they have to... That's because they're kept in a hutch and nobody's keeping them active.
That's true, because the wild rabbits at home, they're tearing ass all over the place. Like, they never stop running around.
No, they need tunnels, they need platforms for climbing, tree stumps, twigs, toys.
Oh, fuck it, just leave them outside.
And places to hide.
That's why you don't have... That's why it disappeared. It's the Casimir household was like, wait, we have to buy all this shit. We have to buy, like, basically an Olympic training gym for these things. They're going to shit raisin nuts everywhere. Get them out of here. I wonder what happened. Do you remember the name of the rabbit?
I do. But I'm not saying it.
Okay.
Because it's my password now.
Oh, that's funny. So it's not Robert Plant or something like that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a lot about, you know. And, oh, yeah, you know, the typical, this rabbit, the cartoon rabbit, Thumper. Do you remember Thumper?
From what?
Some Disney movie.
Thumper. Was his mother killed?
Some problem.
Oh, it was in Bambi. Bambi's mother was killed. Okay.
Yeah. Thumper, you know, rabbits will thump their hind legs when danger is around, when predators are around.
Maybe they should just run like hell and just keep it small.
But
like, that's not what I'm start stomping on the ground because there's someone after me. Get to hopping.
They're actually trying to warn their friends.
Oh, I'd be like, forget it. You're on your own.
Well, that's how Thumper got its name, because it's always...
Because they're underground, right? So they're thumping.
I know, above ground. They're just like, bam, here comes the predator.
Like that?
Yeah.
They're kind of like a bebop type of situation. I like it.
Yeah, this is there's something new about rabbits we didn't know before.
In my research, I found that the Easter Bunny is of German origin. It's the Easter Bunny! It's German.
Der Easter Bunny.
Der Easter Bunny. And the Easter Bunny appears in 16th century literature for the first time as the deliverer of eggs.
Oh!
So that's a German thing. And he's kind of like a springtime Santa Claus. So he only delivers the eggs to good children.
Okay.
The colored eggs to good children.
Well, is it like a real egg or is it a toy egg?
No, it's actually an egg. Like back in the day...
eggs were good.
So during Lent, you couldn't eat eggs. That was one of the forbidden things during Lent. So,
verboten.
Yes. No eggs. Achtung. So after Lent has concluded, you know, Easter, and then you have the celebration of fertility, whatever, you're eating the eggs kind of thing. But they also said that they used to, and this is weird, because nowadays we dye eggs like pretty colors, you know, like pastels, or we put like designs on them.
Of course.
They used to dye them red.
Nice.
To signify the blood of Christ.
All right.
And then they would eat it.
Well,
which is just
like
creepy.
Like Catholics do with Christ. So.
I know, but it just is. So they give it to children. They either eat them or they give it to children and they tell the children, they used to tell the children it's a talisman to keep evil away. This is a red boiled egg. It's just so bizarre to me. Christianity was obviously much more fun back in the day.
Have you ever opened up an egg and found it already like
black inside?
Black inside?
No.
You're cursed. It's past rotten. It's all dried up and just gone. And there's a black on the inside. I found one like that, and it haunted me for a long time.
Well, you're right to be haunted by it, because apparently if you open up an egg and there's anything weird inside, according to the literature, bad luck is going to be upon you. So it says here, people would take a scarlet dyed egg, which sounds like a negative thing, but it was a positive thing back in the day, and they would put it in their vineyard or in the field. Or to keep, you know, lightning and hail away. So it was like a, you know, omen for good. And they said eggs have their own lore. So if you break a small end of the egg during Easter, you're fucked.
Oh.
Just forget about it. Like, you're done. Wow. I have nothing else to say to you. And if you open up an egg and there's a double yolk inside, which I've never seen before.
That's weird, yeah.
Then some people say that it presages a wedding. Others say you're going to die.
Okay.
Well, so there's two different ways you can go.
I've seen it too, but like...
You've seen a double egg?
And neither happened to me. Okay. I didn't die in it.
And you're not married. Not yet. And it says once the egg is consumed, the shell must be broken up completely. Otherwise, a witch will gain power over the person who has eaten said egg.
Oh.
So you have to smash up the shell and get rid of it.
All right.
And then
I could do that.
A witch could also make a boat from an intact shell. She's a bit of a Martha Stewart.
All right.
And then set sail and then wreck your ship at sea.
Well,
she must
be a mighty small witch.
She is very small but very powerful. She packs a punch.
This shell. Can you imagine that coming at you? Come on, that's cute.
That's well, until scary. It gets up on you, then it's not so cute, right? And then also it says here that you should never burn eggshells. And this is so weird. I remember when I was a kid, people being weird about eggs and eggshells. Uh-huh. And I thought it was a thing about sanitation, but it's not. There was obviously some folklore aspect to it. So you should never burn eggshells, because if you do so, the egg, the hen that laid that egg is done. That's her last egg.
Really?
Yeah. So when I was growing up, my cousins had a huge chicken coop, and we used to go out there and get fresh eggs all the time. Mm-hmm. But when we discarded the eggs, I remember we were always supposed to, like, rinse them or do, like, there were some just little things that we'd have to do afterwards that now make no sense at all to me. So maybe they were superstitious about the eggs.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my favorite segment, if you're ready for it.
Yes.
It's Tales from Dirt Campfire. You didn't know what it was. It's Tales from Dirt Campfire. So Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment that we do where we take fake lore, folklore, urban legends,
ghost stories,
stories of the paranormal, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
that's what we have. So gather around.
Gather around, people.
Gather around, listeners.
Katie has got just something that sounds horrifying.
Yes. This is a tale called The Bunny Man.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's an urban legend, and it originated from two incidents in Fairfax County in Virginia.
Okay, nice.
And as recent as 1970, this is...
Wow, this is a new one.
This is not... Oh, this is new.
I don't know how urban Fairfax is, but I'll take it. A suburban legend.
Suburban, yeah. All right, let's see. It involves a man wearing a rabbit costume, the bunny suit.
You know, cash.
Who attacks people with...
Eggs? Carrots. What does he attack them with? Chocolate?
An axe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why would I know that? You're looking at me like it's a co-location. Bunny suit, axe. That's like the furthest thing from my mind. Does he throw an egg at you first? Is an egg involved? This guy has lost the imagery of the season with his getup. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
With his implement. All right, so he's an axe wielding.
Yeah, apparently it happened in two locations. The first incident was reported on October 19th near the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
Cadet Bob Bennett and his fiance were visiting relatives on Guinea Road. And come on.
Yes! Guinea fowl, probably not.
I hope
so. The pejorative.
Around midnight, when they returned from a football game, they parked their car in a field on Guinea Road.
Okay, again.
To talk.
Right. Rank.
As they sat down...
About the game. Right?
Yeah. As they sat down in the front seat with the car running, Jeez, I wouldn't advertise that.
Right? He's like, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe it's not. I'm not turning off the car. I'm not
and
taking
if
my
it
boots
does,
off.
If it does, you know, we're just going to get going right now.
Not taking my boots off, not turning the car off.
It's not even worth shutting off the engine for. Okay, so they're sitting in the front seat with the car running. They notice something moving outside the rear window.
Okay.
Huh?
Where? Like in the cab?
Outside.
It's a truck, right? I made it a truck.
Sure. Moments later.
Like in the flatbed? Outside the rear window, right?
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Okay.
You transported me back to my childhood.
In a pickup truck?
Yeah. Are there monster wheels on that truck?
Young Jaquetta Satmari. Yes.
Is there a house speaker in that truck? Because I had one in my truck. Okay.
Moments later, the front passenger window was smashed, and there was a white-clad figure standing near the broken window.
Oh, it's the Klan.
Bennett turned the car around while the man screamed at them about trespassing, including, "You're on private property, and I have your tag number."
Okay.
And they drove down the road and discovered a hatchet on the car floor.
Who said, "I have your number"?
The bunny man.
Why would he care about that? What?
Because he's letting him know, "I'm coming after you.
Okay.
You trespass. I'm going to trespass on your property.
I'm going to track you down using the Department of Motor Vehicles permission."
When the police asked for a description of the man, Bob insisted he was wearing a white suit with long bunny ears. But his piano...
I'm sorry. Yeah, white bunny suit. I was just thinking like Colonel Sanders type of situation.
I was thinking like Steve Martin. You know?
Yes. And then just some bunny ears. You know.
But his fiance remembered something white and pointed like a Ku Klux Klan hood.
Okay. These guys got a bad rap, all these bunny crimes that are going on. Not everyone wearing a white sheet's in the Klan. Some of them are homicidal bunny maniacs.
Oh, no, it can't be the Klan. It must be a man dressed as a bunny.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I'm sure the first
to forget that.
What was he wearing white? It's the Klan, lady.
Yeah. It's not a guy. Like, what's more plausible? They both remembered seeing his face clearly, but in the darkness, they could not determine his race.
Okay.
The police returned the hatchet.
He was white, if they couldn't tell. Like,
kind of blended in with him.
Yeah. Like,
The police returned the hatchet to Bennett after examination. Why'd they give it to
me? I don't know. This is how police departments used to roll back in there. Here's the gun. That's not it. Why don't you guys take that on home?
Yeah.
Here's a bloody shirt.
Remember this?
Yeah, you guys can probably take this home now. We took a picture of it.
Yeah.
We scraped it.
Bennett was required to report the incident upon his return to the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It was later confirmed to Fairfax police records that a man was wearing a bunny suit with ears, not Ku Klux Klan robes.
Okay. This sounds like a cover-up. Maybe the Klan got wise to the fact that people aren't down with the hood and they've gone with the bunny suit.
Right.
They're like, it's white. It's kind of scary.
It's good enough for us.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Beats that sheet. Easier to clean. Non-flammable. You know, it's a problem for us.
Okay. The second reported sighting occurred the evening of October 29th, 1970. So it's 10 days later.
Okay.
When construction security guard Paul Phillips approached a man standing on a porch of an unfinished home in Kings Park West, again on Guinea Road.
Okay.
Phillips said the man was wearing...
Has anyone checked the Guinea Road Klan? Like, did they just send a white person over there and be like, yo, could you stop harassing white people?
Right.
Oh, God. They're probably, there are no black people around. They're like, we got to do something. He had dark hair.
Phillips said the man was wearing a gray, black, and white bunny suit and was about 20 years old.
In my mind, he was older, but okay, let's go with
this. And he was 5'8", so you know that means 5'6".
Yeah, 5'6".
Yeah.
Well, with the suit.
Oh, yeah. He weighed about 175 pounds.
All right.
The man
in the suit? How could he tell? Was this like a svelte, like a tight fitting?
It
had darts at the bust.
A big, like onesie kind of a.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Tight. The man began chopping at a porch post with a long handle axe, saying, "All you people trespass around here. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust you in the head."
Oh, God.
Right?
But then he didn't call it a car. Like,
he just was like, just in his suit, and he was like, I'm going to. Yeah, the police opened investigations on both incidences, and they were closed for lack of evidence.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Someone reported that someone tried to attack them with an axe wearing a bunny suit, and then 10 days later, there's a guy in broad friggin' daylight with a bunny suit chopping with a new axe.
And saying you're trespassing.
And saying you're trespassing, yeah.
And then in the following weeks, there were more than 50 people contacted the police claiming to see the bunny man.
Worst police ever. Like, really?
There was several newspapers reported the incident of the bunny man eating a man's runaway cat.
Huh?
Come on.
Okay, that's like that is. It takes a long time to eat a cat. Like, did the was the guy just sitting still, like casually doing it, and the person was like, "Well, maybe I should report this." Oh, he's still there. Maybe I should report this. Now he's working on the. Oh, the cat's gone now. There's no evidence. See you later.
Oh yeah, he ate it.
Yeah. Just stay away from Guinea Road.
The bunny man ate my cat.
Yes.
The bunny man ate my homework.
The bunny man of Guinea Road. Not the clan.
Yeah.
I like that one. I have another, I have a auxiliary tales from their campfire, if I may.
Yes.
So indeed. Gather background, or continue to be gathered.
Gathering.
If you're still here. This is one involving President Jimmy Carter.
Oh, get out.
Do you know about this?
No, I don't.
So, April 20th, 1979, on a fishing trip in Plains, Georgia, President Carter had an encounter with a quote-unquote swamp rabbit. Now,
wait.
I'm technically from the Mid-Atlantic, so when these things come up, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? We have swamps where I'm from. I never heard of a swamp rabbit outside of, like, Monty Python. It says a seemingly trivial event was seized upon by the press. So here's the event, as the press secretary who was with him says. It began late one afternoon in the spring of 1979.
Oh, for God's sake.
The president was sitting with a few of us on the Truman balcony. He'd just gotten back from the plains, from Plains, Georgia. And we were talking about home folks and how the quail were nesting and similar matters of international importance. I guess that's a joke.
Right.
Suddenly, for no apparent reason, he was drinking lemonade, as I recall.
Oh, what?
The president volunteered the information that while fishing in a pond on his farm, he had sighted a large animal swimming towards him. Upon closer inspection, the animal turned out to be a rabbit, but it wasn't cute.
Oh.
It wasn't an Easter Bunny type rabbit. It was a big, splay-footed thing that we call swamp rabbits.
Ew.
I know. So rabbits can get really big. You've seen the footage of Australia, how the rabbits were, like, running all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
The animal was clearly in distress, or perhaps berserk.
No.
The president confessed to having limited experience with enraged rabbits. He was unable to make a conclusion. What was obvious, however, was a large wet animal making hissing noises and gnashing his teeth and tried to climb in the presidential boat.
Well.
All right, so that's the end of the thing.
Okay.
So it blows up into the New York Times prints a story that says, President attacked by rabbit.
Oh, come
and apparently
on.
It went wild.
Come on.
So this thing happened. A rabbit swam near him, and he was like casually was telling a friend about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess someone got wind of it, and it went from just being, you know, a really little tiny thing to the rabbit. It was urgent. It tried to get into the boat, and then, you know, he had to like hit it with a bunch of things. Swamp rabbits. Back to scene.
The thing is, you know, if you're out in nature, some animals, they're not going to be your stereotypical animals, like you read about in a book, and they're going to behave the exact same way that they're supposed to.
People think that everything is like cute and it's going to mind its own business.
Mm.
But it's, I can tell you from experience, if an animal is rabid.
Yeah.
It's coming at you.
And it doesn't mind the water.
Yeah.
It's like not going to.
It doesn't care about the water. It doesn't care about you. It's just like running around. It's like a drunk person in Times Square.
Yeah, there's a spectrum of animal behavior.
Yes.
And you're not always going to get what you expect from an animal. So, sure, a rabbit's going to swim.
Have you ever seen sheep in a field? I grew up near a sheep farm.
Okay.
And I remember some of my cousins coming down for the summer. And we're like, oh, let's go check out, you know, the sheep farm, right? So we go over there, and they were very disappointed to see that the sheep were not fluffy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Not white.
Oh, right.
Not cute. They're like, they look like matted, you know,
matted,
dreadlocked pieces of crap with, like, feet.
Yeah.
And they snort at you. They're
they
very foolish, and they smell.
Yeah.
And this is how animals do, people. They're not cute and nice and sweet all the time.
Yeah.
So that is my... my auxiliary,
well,
Jimmy Carter,
nice.
And the killer rabbit. But they really made a big deal of it.
Yeah,
like, they were asking questions about it.
Was he like, stop it?
Yeah, basically. He was
good.
Like, can we get to something about, like, gas?
Yeah.
Because there's none of that.
About the world. And how about yes. those people in Iran?
Yeah. So, if you guys are in New York, I just have to let you know that New York is having a massive Easter egg hunt.
Oh.
It's going on for 3 weeks. And it's, what they have basically is, they have hidden 250 eggs. Some of them are designed by artists. Some of them are designed by students. And they are 2.5 feet tall. And they've hidden them.
What?
All over the city.
You're kidding.
And if you find them and, like, I guess tag them with your phone, you can win some kind of a prize. They're having, like, a big drawing. They're going to be having, like, some kind of charity events for it as well. And the whole thing is sponsored by Fabergé Egg.
So it's a real Fabergé egg?
You can win a Fabergé egg.
Oh, you see, I'm going to look then.
But I haven't seen shit. Like, I've been walking around. It started yesterday, I think.
April 1st?
It started, it started March 31st.
Okay.
So it goes from April 1st and then 3 weeks from April 1st, basically. And they're supposedly all over the city, and you got to find them, tag them. With an app. It's a free app.
All right.
And then you can, there's going to be, like I said, there's charity stuff, there's like an auction, and then you can win a Fabergé egg. That's kind of cool, all right. I think. I wonder where they're going to be, cool. though.
I hope there's one in the Path
they
Station.
They better put some of these in the boroughs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to burn this thing down. I'm going to tear this Fabergé egg on apart. You got to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here also some Easter horror films.
Oh, all right.
Now,
let's hear it.
I couldn't believe there were any, but there are many.
Okay.
So I just picked what I thought are the best ones. Here's one from 1999 called Resurrection.
Oh.
Serial killer is a gruesome horror suspense tale. Wants to recreate the resurrection of Christ on Easter using other people's body parts.
Oh.
So this is like a Frankenstein Easter kind of thing.
Meets.
Sadly, yeah. Christopher Lambert is in it from Highlander.
Oh.
That's what he's doing now.
No.
Oh, so sad.
99, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not that old. Here's another one. Easter Bunny Kill Kill. It's a 2006 indie exploitation film. It's an Easter Bunny masked madman kills to avenge harm done to a disabled boy.
Oh.
So I looked into this, and it's interesting because it's a story about a woman, and she has a son who's disabled. Mm-hmm. She's not taking very good care of him. So she leaves him with her new boyfriend, and apparently somebody sees it, doesn't like it, puts on a bunny mask, and goes out and kills every single person that's ever done anything to this little boy. So it's kind of like
a feel-good story.
Yeah, it's a feel-good story. It's a feel-good axe murder story.
All right.
With a bunny protagonist.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. There's another one, Peter Rottentail.
Oh, no.
2004. And I'll just give you this. A human-rabbit hybrid with an evil craving for blood.
Of course.
Also is on here, Night of the Lepus, which I've seen many times.
Night of the Lepus? I have never seen it.
1972. Basically, they take footage of just harmless rabbits, and they blow the images up.
Yeah.
And then they just have people run in front of it as the rabbits come. It's super, super low budget. It's about giant rabbits, but you never actually see any real rabbit. It's just like footage blown up.
And people run.
Like Attack of the Gila Monster
stuff.
Yeah, it's coming, it's coming. And then we run. And then 2 seconds later, like footage
of a rabbit.
Of rabbits that are clearly small,
okay.
but made large. Also, Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, which I love. It's just Jesus is risen and he's pissed.
And he's going after
And he's coming after vampires.
Does he team up with Abraham Lincoln?
No, he does not. But this is a super low budget film.
When was it made?
It's made in 2001.
All right.
It looks one of these movies. It's like trauma style. Literally, like everyone in the town's in it.
Oh, that's nice.
So there's a fight scene where Jesus Christ, Vampire Hunter, and I think whoever his sidekick is, they fight like the whole town, like one at a time. It's hilarious. And then of course, Watership Down.
Oh, this
which
is
I
your,
told you about. That
yeah.
has the general wound wart, the most bloodthirsty rabbit anyone's ever heard of. So I've only seen the Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter and Night of the Lepus, and I'm ashamed to say that I've seen those, but I definitely want to check out Peter Rottentail.
All right.
Because
I think so.
A human-rabbit hybrid, low budget, this could only
how
be bad.
How did it happen? Now I'm so curious.
Why hasn't it happened again? is my question. All right, what do you got?
So, you know, we talked about Easter. It's Christian. It's pagan. You know,
yeah.
all of that.
I'm your mother. I'm your sister.
Yeah, so I have some advice.
Oh, great.
And this is Easter advice. It says
Hold on. Let me introduce us. So Katie's going to give us some fantastic Easter advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment that you may have heard of.
Yeah.
Hashtag advice on advice. Hey, Special Agent Jackson told me I'm the hashtag queen, and then I screwed up hashtags.
Okay.
Special Agent Jackson is from the podcast Operation Cubicle.
Oh, you have to listen to Operation Cubicle if you haven't already.
And if you listen, I don't know if it's still in the opening credits, but you can hear us a little bit.
He took a sampling of us
rapping.
Singing and put it in there. If it's not there, we understand.
Yeah, because it wasn't
otherwise.
That great singing.
No.
But so
what?
So advice on advice is a segment we do where we find advice on the internet that is unqualified,
and
frankly,
stinks.
P.U., It's putrid. We can't stand it. And we make it better. We give advice on that advice.
That's hence. Right. Advice on advice.
Yeah. So Katie's got Easter advice.
Okay.
Damn, that was a long intro. People, are you still there, people? Is this on?
All right, here's the question. When I was a kid, my parents encouraged me to make Easter eggs. But I take my religion more serious. But I take my religion more seriously than they do.
Okay. To me, and I don't want any fun in it.
To me, Easter eggs are pagan. They have nothing to do with any of Jesus' qualities. Mm-hmm. How do I tell...
Okay.
How do I tell my kids, no Easter eggs without being a killjoy?
You can't. Boom, done. Next. You can't. This is like me growing up, because my grandmother was Jehovah's Witness, and she sucked the fun out of every single holiday.
Yeah.
Like, the kids don't, you know, at that point in your life, in your religious life, you need the fun stuff.
Oh, you have to.
You need the stories, the comic strips, like the games, the pageants, all that. Otherwise, you're like, what? You'll figure out what's going on and you'll be out.
Yeah. Right? A spoonful of sugar.
Yeah.
If you didn't know. All right. The answer is, with the whole culture around you screaming, Easter eggs. I don't think the whole culture screams.
I'm screaming peeps. What's up, y'all? Go to Dunkin' Donuts. They have peep donuts. Yes, they do.
Oh, my God. I got to try one.
Dunkin' Donuts is not a sponsor of this show. I do own their stock, full disclosure, but I love their donuts. And I went over there and I saw them. They're flower shaped and there's a peep on top.
Oh, okay. I thought the whole donut was peep.
Oh, that would be awesome. That's the Hey You Know It donut. It's just peeps.
Yeah, and it rings.
Yeah. It's just stuck together with marshmallow.
Peeps, and we're like, it's a donut.
And then we put it on a plate and then we put chocolate in the middle and we just stick it in our face.
That's right.
A ring of peeps. My peeps.
Okay. With the whole culture around you screaming Easter eggs, just as it yells Christmas trees in December, you might be fighting a losing battle. Or at least a battle that will create some bad parent-kid feelings.
Oh, yeah.
But
you'll be in a home before you know it, lady.
But keep up the fight.
Against fun.
What's at stake isn't just trees and eggs. Ted had the nerve to write that. But your principles. Before eggs became so closely associated with Easter, Romans, Gauls, Chinese, Egyptians, and Persians used eggs during the rite of spring festival.
Thank you. I guarantee you this woman doesn't know what a Persian or a Gaul is. She could have left those out. Go ahead.
What's a Persian?
Gauls. The nerve.
Eggs represent the earth's rebirth. Winter was over. The earth was bursting forth with life, just as eggs do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a symbol, right? Yeah.
With the advent of Christianity's eggs, symbolism changed from representing nature's rebirth to representing humanity's rebirth.
It did
rebirth.
Not change. Oh. It was taken and adapted.
Yeah.
And I actually found one preacher who was like, yeah, that's what we did. We tried to like make this a little easier, so we took someone else's symbol, and now we're using it.
Just interpret it differently.
Yeah. It's fine.
And said that ours was right.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said, too. He was like, we just wanted to show the triumph of the Son of God, S-O-N, over the Sun God. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
Many Christians likened the egg to the tomb from which Christ rose.
Mm-hmm. I never heard that growing up.
I never heard that either, and I'm just like, man, if Christ was only in an egg.
It was a big deal.
He could have gotten out so much easier. It might have taken him one day to get out.
Although,
It took him 3 days to get out of there.
If they worked the tomb imagery a little more, we could have it at Halloween. What? A little more fun.
Yes,
a little more fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did medieval studies. That's when Christianity was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Back in, they had the pageantry. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they were all about it. Because they had to compete.
They ran around willy-nilly, too.
Yeah. They used to have black masses, everything. It was on.
Oh, here. More about the egg here. In fact, one Polish legend says that Mary
My people. Yes, again.
My people from half the side of my family.
From the left half of Katie.
One Polish legend says that Mary wept as she gave eggs to some soldiers at the cross.
I never heard that either. That's weird.
Why would she give out eggs to the soldiers, first
Wouldn't
off?
Wouldn't she be angry? Like, get them down!
Yeah.
I would be upset.
Oh, as she asked them to be less cruel, her tears fell on the eggs, spotting them with dots of color. What was she crying?
Blood.
Right. Another legend said...
This is why Thomas Jefferson tried to take all that stuff out, right?
It's like you're all dumb. Like you're making up stuff.
But
you're dumb.
I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with adapting somebody else's culture to suit your needs, especially if the imagery. I'm assuming for religion that the egg imagery could work for anybody, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you have to give credit where credit's due. Don't pretend that this is all new.
Yeah, but also, like, you don't have to make it a negative thing. You could be extremely religious and still have your tree and your egg and, you know.
Oh, here's another legend that says when Mary arrived at Jesus' tomb to anoint his body, the egg she had brought for a snack became...
For a snack?
Became rainbow of colors. Come on.
I've never heard that
I've never heard that either, and you better not try to pin it on the Polish people, because that's just ridiculous.
But you guys have an egg decorating thing, but it has nothing to do with this. That's just a craft.
I've never heard any of this
stuff. Never heard this either, and I was forced to go to Sunday school on the regular, religiously, even.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I don't remember any of this.
No matter what the legends say, as a pretty infestive as well-dyed eggs might be, you're right. Easter eggs say nothing about what type of person Jesus was.
That's true.
Or his ministry meant for humanity.
But it's a nice symbol, I think.
Maybe you can compromise. While you're dyeing eggs with your kids, you could tell them all what Jesus means to you.
Yeah, that's kind of what we had going on.
Yeah.
Like, we would have all these big Easter pageants, which I hated. Because nothing annoys me more than seeing broke-ass people who never go to church show up in, like, things that still have the tags on them that they'll be paying off till next year from Kmart. Yeah.
to like, I know, right?
But everybody, you know, we did all these, like, fun activities. Like, the church had an Easter egg hunt. Like, they make it a fun day because you got to get people in. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in there, hit them with the religious stuff.
Yeah.
But if they're not coming in the door.
Yeah, what are you going
to... Yeah, how are you going to get them in?
Yeah.
Interesting.
To be extinct people.
So our advice on that advice is like, please let your kid have a little bit of fun.
Oh, a little bit.
And then just tell them about their religious stuff while they're having fun.
Yeah,
right?
Make them feel guilty.
Would you? Yes. They didn't say they were Catholic.
No, but it's a Christian thing.
Okay. Right? Well, no, we didn't have any guilt.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Protestants. We didn't have anything. It's like, thanks for coming to the world. We forgive you. That's pretty much it. For whatever. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You got forgiveness.
But then you left with a nagging feeling that you did something wrong and you don't know what it is. So you start your whole life. What did I do wrong?
No, we don't.
You don't?
We don't. I only learned that when I went to Catholic school for 2 years. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know I was guilty. Damn. What am I going to do? Okay. Not communion. Probably. So I have, if you're feeling weird about Easter, here's how to feel a little less weird or weirder. I got some Easter cocktails right here. Mm. There's something called an Easter egg cocktail.
Oh, wow.
And the prep time, it says, takes 3 minutes.
Nice.
The total time takes 3 minutes.
Okay.
So for us, we include the shot part of this in the prep.
All right.
So the yield is one cocktail. The ingredients are 1 ounce of blue curacao.
So I need about 30 minutes to set aside.
Yes. First, you got to go find a store that has blue curacao.
Oh, God.
1 ounce of white cream de cacao.
Oh, nice.
And then half and half. Yeah, exactly. It says pour the two drinks, the two liquors together over an ice cube in an old-fashioned glass. And then float the half and half on top to taste. This is a light blue mess. I guess that's why it's called Easter egg cocktail, right? Because it's light blue.
I know, light blue.
You're making a face. I know. I'm going to make that face better, though, with this one. There's something just called straight up the Easter bunny.
All right.
Prep time, 3 minutes.
Nice.
Total time, 3 minutes. Yield, again, one cocktail.
Again, another.
1.5 ounces of dark creme de cacao or cream de cocoa. 1/2 ounce of vodka. I would say 1 ounce. 1 teaspoon of chocolate syrup and 1 teaspoon cherry brandy, which I've never had. You probably had it.
I have not, but I don't like cherries and chocolate together, and that just
I thought you would like this one. Yeah. So you put it all together in a vodka shaker with ice. How about just the vodka?
Yeah,
with a cherry. Would that
and some ice?
Would that do you?
All right.
So this is the hey, you know what Easter cocktail is? You just muddle some cherries in a glass.
Yeah,
cheapest ones you can find.
Okay.
You put some ice in there, and you put some vodka in there.
It works.
Then you put your mouth on it. There's just Easter cocktail.
Hey, you know what Easter cocktail?
Yeah, I like that.
Enjoy
one.
It, everyone.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah. So, what do you have?
Well, I've got to tell you, listeners, all about Cinema.
Yeah, Cinema is a band that we've had on one time before, and they do the music for the show.
Yeah,
we mean that we use their music.
Yes. If you've enjoyed the intro outro music to our shows, you have enjoyed Cinema.
That's right.
And,
for free.
Yes. And we're so happy for them. They are opening for Black Flag.
Awesome.
This summer.
If you don't know what Black Flag is, I'll put a link up to it. They're just a very awesome punk rock band.
Yeah.
Like real punk rock.
Like real.
Not Green Day.
Yeah. Like this is.
This is for real.
Yes. This is classic.
Classic punk rock?
No, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
So from May 15th kicks off their tour in Midland, Texas, and they're going to be in Arizona, Nevada, California, Colorado.
You don't know them.
Hang on.
Katie's not sure about the abbreviations.
No.
They're crisscrossing the country.
No, they're going to...
They're not?
May 15th kicks off their tour. They're starting off in Midland, Texas. They're going to Arizona, California, Nevada, Texas, Illinois, everywhere. And they end up, what is it? I can't even see the glare.
What is it?
June 28th. It ends. It all ends in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a town called Hot Springs in Arkansas.
They're going to be gone for a month and a half.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you have many, many chances to see them. They're also going to be in Brooklyn. So they're going to be in New York. They're going to be in Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
They're going to Quebec.
Yeah. So it's
Ontario.
The tour is called Victimology.
Victimology North American Tour 2014.
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing. So go to, if you want to see their whole schedule, go to cinemacinemaband.com and check it out.
Yeah. They're also, so it's Black Flag as the headliner and Cinema Cinema is opening. And there's also another band just called Whore. That's H-O-R. I like it.
I like it too.
I don't know anything about them, but you know, you can't forget that name.
And if you have not seen Cinema Cinema Live, you're in for a treat.
We saw them and I still can't believe it. They're two guys.
Two guys.
But they make the sound of like just a huge band. Like I don't like to use terms like shred and thrash, but you have to.
Yeah.
They rock. Like, really hard?
We went there and we're like, hey, Cinema Cinema, and they impressed us beyond.
And then they came off stage and were like, hey guys, what's up?
Yeah.
You want a t-shirt?
Yeah, so basically they're melting faces and breaking hearts.
Yeah, Cinema all over Cinema. The place, so go check them out. I also want to give a plug. I am the founder of the Festival of the Offensive.
Oh, boy.
This is a theater festival taking place from April 28th to May the 4th, be with you in Times Square, New York. We have 8 shows. We have Thanksgiving the Musical, we have Crazy Pussy, we have A Most Offensive Burlesque, we have Puff Puff, we have, what did I say, Crazy Pussy? Cat Ladies the Musical, I'd say it, Crazy Pussy, with lots of pussy. Cat Ladies the Musical, Swipe This, My Life in Transit, and there's also a show called The Silencer.
Yes.
So if you guys are interested in seeing any of these shows, please go to offensivefestival.com and you can get all the information. I'm the director of the festival and the festival is pretty fucking offensive, I think.
It is offensive.
So if you like offensive shit,
come by and watch it through your fingers with me.
Katie will be there. You could meet us. And the tagline for the Festival of the Offensive is Masterpiece Fucking Theater. So come out.
Come on out.
And enjoy. Oh, Click Chamber. That's the other show that's in it. Right. Click Chamber. Cool.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
So we got another piece of advice.
Yeah.
So the last one we addressed, you know, our Christian friends.
Yeah.
And this one we're addressing our pagan friends.
That's right.
Or our, we think, pagan friends.
Right.
This is about how to help them out.
Yes. So the question is, dear Jasmine, I'm wondering, what is the best way to come out of the broom closet to my friends and family? And so she's sincerely Sperry.
Mm-hmm. So this is someone who is a pagan or Wicca.
Yeah.
And has been hiding it for a long time. Which I find interesting because I've known quite a few pagans in my time and Wicca in my time. One of my good friends is a Wicca. It's never seemed that strange to me, but I'm also from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, so I think anything is possible.
Okay.
Like anything. Have you ever met any out pagans or Wicca?
I did. Yes, I have. There's no... I have no problem. I'm like trying to think of something and it's totally...
How did they tell you about it? Or it just came up?
It kind of came up after it slowly was revealed.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of one of those things, like, if you are, I won't liken it to being gay, but I'll liken it to being a libertarian. Mm-hmm. Because I like to feel people out first before I say I'm a libertarian.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where people are, you know, stand on things like that.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't affect them, you never know. So let's hear the advice.
Okay, so dear Sperry. An old teacher of mine used to tell everyone that you should only share your spirituality with those you want to share your underwear with.
Huh? Wow. Okay.
I know it's graphic.
Not the same for libertarians. I will share my libertarianism with people who I don't want in my underwear.
Yeah, but think about it. Is there anything out there more personal than your connection to the divine?
Yeah, my underwear. Okay. My bank account, how much money I make. What I used to do as a, everything.
The body's buried in my backyard. Yeah. That's personal to me.
Dead hookers.
This is a very personal choice that will need to be weighed. You can make the choice to come out to everyone, no one, or a select group of individuals.
I wonder how many people, because I've had, when I was in college, I had people come out to me as gay or bisexual or Wicca or whatever, and I was like, dude, I don't give a shit. Yeah. They were very disappointed.
Oh, no.
That I did not care.
Well, you got to
think. I was like, can I get that $5 you owe me? I found out you're a cheat. That's all I care about.
You have to ask these questions. How will the people handle it? Will you do more harm than good? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Will they run screaming?
Jesus! Would it mean getting blacklisted in your own town? Will people show up and burn crosses or smash windows on your home? Will they harass your children and family?
Against pagans?
Yeah.
The gentlest religious group.
I know, but this is the thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm not thinking about where they might be.
Yeah. That's what I like about this. Like, when anybody has anything, everyone's so quick to be like, come out of closet, do this, do that. Mm. You know what? You can do that, but you have to prepare them. Like, some people aren't going to like it, and you just have to be ready for that.
You're free to be you, but also people are free to not like you.
Right. And you just expect some some really negative feedback. Not like you deserve it or anything, but.
You know, people are assholes, as we always say.
People are assholes.
.com.
Yeah. Jaquetta and I don't care. No. Obviously, like, obviously. I was searching for a story of my friend who's a Wiccan. I'm like, there was nothing.
I mean, my only thing with my friends who have been pagan or Wiccan is the same thing with my friends who are of other religions. I'm like, how come you guys never invite me to shit?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where's your food? Don't you guys have, like, a name day or, like, a special day?
Well, you bake it.
Is there a party? Coffee. Yeah. Don't just invite me to your garden. Show me your herbs. I'm trying to have a party up in here. Let's get down. Goat foot style or whatever.
Coming out of the broom closet can be a very scary event in our lives. I am out to most of my family and all of my friends. I'm not out to the entire world, however. She should think about this column then.
Now you're out, scary.
No, no, it's Jasmine who's answering it.
AKA Sheldon. See.
I struggle with it all the time, too, because my spirituality is so much a part of who I am. And if I cannot share with my spirituality, how can a person ever get to know the real me?
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know most people's religions.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm always shocked when I find out someone is religious. I'm like, oh, I don't care. But I'm like, who knew? Most people hide it. We were taught to not talk about it.
Yeah.
We were taught, don't wear anything, don't say anything about it. Like, it was not as a way of shame, but it's like, it's no one's, who cares, you know?
I remember learning, like, we used to say grace, because I was raised Catholic, and we had to say grace. We had to cross ourselves, make the sign of the cross.
Oh, that's right.
And so, I asked my mother when we went out to dinner, don't we say grace here? And she's like, just say it to yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like,
just keep it small. Yeah.
We're not supposed to, deny Jesus.
Yeah.
And why are we
restaurants said it, it's different. You know what? You give thanks to the waiter and the chef, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. My mom and I rarely ate meals together. She's a horrible cook. I was probably just saying grace so that I wouldn't die. But yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, when we go out, we don't really do it.
No. That's what we were taught not to, but it's like...
Well, because it's gauche. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do it?
I'm like, oh, really? What about... Are you, like, denying Jesus, mother? Yeah. Is that what you're doing?
She's like, no, just keep it small.
Yeah.
Eat the bread. I know... I think...
Keep your napkin on your lap.
Sometimes people do quietly. Like, we'll, bow their head a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So she's just saying, be prepared. But it's like, man...
That's something I never really thought about before. This is the problem I'm saying when you live in a kind of a open-minded bubble like we do. Most of the people that we deal with, it's like we take all comers.
Yeah.
And I forget about these things. Even though I'm from a very small and somewhat conservative town, when I was younger, I didn't see that kind of a prejudice.
Yeah.
Probably because I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, that's got to be an issue.
It is. It is interesting.
And also, once again, I'm from the country, and in the country, people are like, who, what?
Yeah,
are you doing that on your own property? Because I really don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, Are you okay over there? Do you need anything? If not, I'm going to go back to what I'm
doing. And again, if you're serving food, invite me over.
Exactly.
That's what she should put down.
I would love to. I mean, I think it would be great for pagans, and they're obviously very risky, but like, yeah, start promoting your holidays. We're pro-holiday.
Yeah.
If there's some food, and if it's not like anti-me, I'll probably go.
And especially if you could carry it in your hand. Yeah. It's going to cross over to the general populace, and you'll be so accepted.
Maybe some, is there a pagan snack that we're just, like, not aware of? Like a pagan chip or, like...
Like a roll, like a hand roll or something.
Something with a pita on it. Like, do you guys have anything? If anyone out there is pagan, and there are any pagan celebratory foods, we're curious. That's all. I don't know anything about this. Most of my friends, like I said, who have practiced Wicca or who are pagan, it's like they just have their herb gardens.
Yeah.
Like, but I've had herb gardens, too.
Yeah.
You know, we want something sweet.
Yeah.
Is there something alcoholic?
Or something maybe to have with coffee?
Something we could have with coffee on a regular basis, you know, and just kind of, you know, give props to pagan.
That's, yeah.
I like it.
It's my advice. That's our advice.
That's
too.
Our advice is get a snack. Get a snack. And happy Easter. Oestra.
Or whatever you want to call
it. Or whatever you want to call it.
And good luck with the Fabergé egg hunt.
Yeah, good luck. I hope I see some eggs.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
Oh my god.
All right, what do you got? You don't have to turn away. It doesn't matter. I'll cut it out.
Okay.
It's not.
Should I cough in your face?
Further away. I still have to cut it out.
I know. But maybe I'm telegraphing to you that I'm coughing. Now. Okay. I don't want to miss any of your gold. I don't want to cough over the
pewter
that comes out of your mouth.
The gold plated.